at the top of the hour.
This is the Quality News Network. The top commander of U.S. troops in Iraq, General George Casey, has reportedly come up with a plan that would pull out two combat brigades from Iraq by the fall. That's about 7,000 troops. The New York Times report says overall Casey's plan would eventually cut the total U.S. forces down to five or six brigades by the end of 2007, down from the current number of 14. In Iraq today, two bombs exploded near crowded marketplaces. At least 13 people were killed. Some reports say as many as 30 died, and at least 50 were wounded. In a separate combat incident, the U.S. military says one Marine was killed. In Baghdad Sunday, the Prime Minister announced his 24-point plan for national reconciliation. Its most controversial proposal is an offer of amnesty to insurgents who renounce violence and have not committed terrorist attacks. In Gaza City, the Palestinian militants who seized an Israeli soldier are demanding that Israel release all female and underage prisoners being held in their jails. Israel's prime minister is rejecting any deal, saying they will not respond to blackmail and instead threatens a large military offensive in response. In Washington, the Supreme Court upheld the state death penalty law in Kansas. In a 5-4 vote, Justice Alito was the tiebreaker. Also today, the Supreme Court ruled that Vermont's election finance law unconstitutionally places hamstrings on candidates and thus overturned it. In Washington, the chairman of the Judiciary Committee indicates that there may be a resolution soon between the White House and Congress over the controversial NSA wiretap program. So far, the president has resisted oversight of the program, in which the National Security Agency monitors phone calls and emails, which may be linked to terrorists. At the White House, President Bush strongly condemned the New York Times for its publication last week of information about a separate secret program that monitors financial transactions overseas of suspected terrorists. Today he called the disclosure, quote, disgraceful. In the Washington, D.C. area this weekend, heavy rains created flooding problems this morning. Several federal buildings were shut down, including the Justice Department and the IRS. Commuters faced delays as well because of washed out roads. The Census Bureau estimates that the U.S. population will reach 300 million by this fall. Much of the population growth is being driven by Hispanics. You are listening to the Quality News Network.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
The Federal Reserve is predicting that the U.S. economy will do well this year and next because energy prices are anticipated to eventually fall. However, the Fed also says that core inflation will likely remain a concern until those prices stabilize. Billionaire Warren Buffett, the second richest man in the world, announced he will be giving away about 85% of his wealth, said to be worth $44 billion total. A large portion of that will go to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Microsoft says it is planning to revolutionize the telecommunications world. Its new approach combines desktop computers with office and mobile phones. However, the new unified communications won't be available until the second quarter of next year. The Phoenix, Arizona-based mining company Phelps Dodge has made a $40 billion offer for two Canadian mining companies. The deal would create the world's largest nickel and copper producer. New home sales were up in May. The Commerce Department says sales of new single-family homes were up 4.6%. The world's most expensive city is now Moscow, knocking off Tokyo from the top position. Seoul, South Korea is number two. Meanwhile, in the United States, New York City, Los Angeles, and San Francisco are still the costliest places to live based on housing, transportation, and food expenses. Light sweet crude settled at $68.94 a barrel today. And on Wall Street at this hour, the Dow is up 56 points, the Nasdaq up 12 points. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
Roll up your sleeves and put on your gloves, because the work is just beginning.
Monday warrior, mean strike. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
It's time to turn the conversation to taking back America. From the crusaders who have drained our treasury, created needless wars, and expect the working people to pay for their billionaires' games, it's time for the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Brought to you by the West Virginia Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They are building the American dream each and every day. You can get in on the program by dialing in to 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And now, your host, Bruce Birch.
All right. Welcome to the Bruce Birch Radio Program. We're already back from the weekend, and boy, are we loaded for bear. Oh, my goodness. Great to be back with you again this week. Sorry about the close of the show. Last week we had some terrible, terrible rip-snorting, tree-blowing, roof-carving storms blow through here, and it knocked out the power and the phone lines and even my cell phone. When I tried to call into the studios at the Head On Radio Network, got zapped by a lightning strike, and shortly thereafter, I received an email from a very good friend who told me that in the UK, they had actually correlated lightning strikes with cell phone signals. Boy, that made me feel good. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, so we're back on the air today, and, Friday is but a distant memory, except for the tree that fell down by the back porch. But it is Monday, and that means today we are back, and we're with you, and you're listening to me right here on the Head On Radio Network web stream. If you want to get in on the show today, we got pretty much open lines all day. No interviews scheduled for today. Open lines, open phones, open topic, freedom of speech day here at the Bruce Birch Radio Program. You can call in at 1-877-443-2366. You can also send me an email if you would rather converse that way to bruce@brucebirch.com. And if you go to my homepage, one of the things that we worked on and added over the weekend was a podcasting feed so that you can just copy that feed into your iTunes or whatever podcasting client you have. You can copy that feed right into there, and then you can download all the last 2 weeks of shows that we had. Now, you know, we're a little slow, but we got all the archives up, and they're there, and they're ready and waiting. Thank you to Ben Birch at White Rose Society for taking care of that wonderful, taking care of that for us. Now, if you do use the White Rose Society as one of your liberal progressive MP3 archive places, actually, I don't even think there is another one. Maybe there's another one. But the main one, the most important one, is at whiterosesociety.org. Ben Birch is now doing a fundraiser, and definitely need to go and, help him out there if you can, because he is doing what a lot of us don't have time to do in all of our other work and all of our other jobs, is he's recording everything that's being said. As a matter of fact, the NSA could probably take a lesson from our good friend Ben Birch. So go over there to whiterosesociety.org. You can actually go to go there, and then you can click on the donate button, and you too can be added to the thermometer. So thank you very much, Ben, for taking care of that and for doing that for us. Also, again, like I said, you can go to brucebirch.com. That'll get you to the website for this program. I'll be putting up a blog post at some point during the program. Didn't get one up ahead of the show today. And let's see, is there anything else I need to mention? Oh, yeah, we're chatting at the Head On Radio Network chat room, the only chat room for the Head On Radio Network. You can go to headonradionetwork.com, look on the left-hand side of the page, click on Chat Live or Live Chat or Chat or whatever it is, chatty. Register, and then you can get right into our chat room where there are, let's take a look and see, there are approximately five of us. There are some folks in there who are already hanging out and discussing things that liberals discuss, such as root canals and Novocaine. You never know what the conversation is going to look like there. You just never know. All right. Well, I think I've done all of the opening announcements. Let's go ahead. Let's go ahead and head right over to the phones. We have our good friend Jim from the somewhere north of the North Carolina Virginia line.
North is with of my border and south of my garter.
Oh my goodness! Goodness. How are you today, Jim?
Goodness has nothing to do with it. Someone's playing a trick on you. They put a picture of you on the internet, and it's like, do you look like ZZ Top?
Yeah.
Is that you?
Uh-huh.
Mercy.
Where's the picture, and I'll tell you.
It's at www. I don't know. I lost it. I'm just kidding you, Bruce. Anyway,
okay.
Just playing with you. Anyway, I have a story to tell you. It's real short. And we'll call this Southern Debutante. You want to hear it?
Okay. Please do.
A U.S. Navy cruiser was anchored in Mississippi for a week's shore leave. And the first evening, the ship's captain received the following note from the wife of a wealthy plantation owner. Dear Captain, Thursday will be my daughter's joyous debutante ball. I would like for you to send four well-mannered, handsome, unmarried officers in their formal dress uniforms to attend the dance. They should arrive promptly at 8 o'clock p.m. prepared for an evening of polite Southern conversation. They should be excellent dancers, as they will be the escorts of lovely, refined young ladies. One last point. No Jews, please. At precisely 8 p.m. on Thursday, Joy's mother heard a polite rap at the door, which she opened to find, in full dress uniform, four handsome, smiling black officers. Her mouth fell open, but pulling herself together, she stammered, "There must be some mistake." "No, madam," said the first officer. "Captain Goldstein never makes a mistake."
Oh, my goodness.
Well,
Iceberg, Goldberg.
Huh?
Nothing. Go ahead.
As a not-so-liberal apologist from the Deep South, I thought you might appreciate that, since I'm such an accent.
we really do. The humor... That's just,
I mean.
Well, you know, I appreciate the irony is the deal.
Mm-hmm. Irony is very humorous at times, that's for sure.
Yeah. So what's been happening with you all weekend, Jim? Did you go out and stir up any trouble?
Oh, let's see. No, I just went out to dinner, and then I had some absinthe and stuff like that. Read Baudelaire. Just, zoomed out.
Okay, well.
I heard you had a big cigar.
yeah, actually, it was an Arturo Fuente Curly Head Deluxe is the name of the cigar.
Really? And I think Jeff Fox said something about you having a devotee for cigars, and that you'd gone to some function or something like that the other night.
Yeah, well, I had a bunch of kids over for a sleepover. My daughter's 9th birthday was this weekend, so.
Oh my goodness!
Good. So they banished me to the veranda while they watched their little girly movies and whatever. So I basically was there just as, Dad, go get us some stuff from the store. Go get us some chips. Go get us some chicken McNuggets or whatever, you know.
So. Well. I'm sure you must be a very good father. I hear you do some good work down there in Goldsboro, too, by the way.
Of course, okay.
Very, very positive comments about your line of work down there.
Oh, cool.
People need to be helped. They really do, and that's good.
I absolutely think so. That's really part of the reason why I'm even doing this radio program, Jim, is because I put my my actions where my mouth is.
Not many people do that, and that's good. It's good to find an exception like that, at least one who has a sense of humor, who never yells either. That's one thing I like about your program. You never raise your voice, and I think that's wonderful.
I do occasionally. I just turn my head away from the mic. That's one.
No, you always manage to inject a sense of humor into things and do so in such a way that's not offensive, and I find that very, very, you know. That's the reason I like your show so much. One thing I wanted to mention is this business about the Republicans saying they're going to try to get some troops out of Iraq before September.
Okay.
And I thought to myself, what is this as I stroke the hairs of my chin? And I think, you know, is this some type of trick or something that they're going to, after the election, slam some back in or whatever? I mean, some general over there has made some type of a promise to withdraw significant amounts of people from Southwest Asia. But I'm just, you know, kind of gun-shy about some of their promises. You know what I'm saying?
I am, too. And actually, you know, I think it's quite telling that they're saying that they're going to withdraw some, but they also just released, just before this, in a very quiet press release, there was a release about sending 30,000 more troops over there.
Oh, you'll never hear anything more about that. You know, that's done on the QT, and, of course, that's, you know, I guess you can cover that under national security or whatever, but, you know, here's the thing, and if they try to hoodwink the American electorate in the 2006 election by appearing to be something they're not, or not doing what they're supposed to, not doing what they promised to do, I think it could really backfire in their faces. I think it could finally wake up the American electorate to realize that these people are just telling lies.
And one of the
for a hell of a long time.
Well, one of the topics I have in front of me is about Iran and some of the backhanded, underhanded crap that the Bush administration has been pulling regarding Iran the last 5 years, and we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. But
as far as I'm concerned, we've been doing those people dirty since 1953. We'll just start with that one when we reinstalled the Shah and threw out Milosevic, you know?
Yep. Jim, I got to take a quick break, my friend.
Oh, yes, okay.
You want to hold over?
Yeah, I can hold over for a second, if you don't mind.
All righty. Well, stick around. We'll be right back. This is Bruce Birch on the Bruce Birch Radio Program, being brought to you by the Head On Radio Network. Jim and I will be right back.
He's the granola Ayatollah of canola. Charis Ford, founder of Grasoline Solutions, explains.
I just started writing rhymes while I was farming and doing the eco thing, so that's kind of how this all came about.
Ford spits the truth.
Now, Rudolph Diesel was no weasel, this we know to be true. He was an engineer and a humanitarian, too. He made it possible for us to drive on vegetable fuel. Nobody told him that, well, that's what I'm trying to do. It was back around the turn of last century when Dr. Diesel offered up this opportunity. Corn, soy, chicken, fats, and flour, flax, hemp seed. Farmers could grow their own fuel. not only their feed. Small towns can be self-sufficient about their energy needs without drilling or spilling or paying a fee. It's like that.
Biodiesel reduces cancer-causing emissions by 75%. For more EcoWrap and all the 411 on biodiesel,
Grasoline.com. Check us out.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at CliffBar.com.
The major record labels say that downloading their music from the internet is stealing. But according to these people, making a mixtape for your friend is stealing too. So is making a tape of a radio show. When a rock band plays an AC/DC cover at a bar that doesn't pay ASCAP, that's stealing. When an MC rhymes over a sampled beat, that's stealing. Have you ever sung happy birthday to your friend at a restaurant? Watch out, happy birthday is copyrighted. So if you're singing in a public place, you'd better be paying royalties, or you'd be stealing music. Does all this stuff about stealing music sound absurd? Would you rather have a world where our music culture wasn't the intellectual property of five corporations? Then stop giving them your money. Don't pay for major label music, and make sure your friends and family don't either. Even better, burn the CDs of the music they like, so they won't even want to buy it. If we pull the plug on the major labels, music gets better. To find out more about what you can do, check out downhillbattle.org.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible, a cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle. For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
Alright, you're back on the Bruce Birch radio program, Radio for a Free America. If you want to get on the program, you too can dial and avail yourself of the free speech the founders gave you by dialing 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877, the number 4, Head On. We are here on the Head On Radio Network. When I went over the break, my good friend Jim and I were talking about Iran. Jim, are you still there?
I'm still here. Tell me, what dirty tricks is he up to lately? Can you share that with me?
I certainly can, actually, Jim. And actually, I talked about this on Fourth Estate Radio the last hour of the program that I was on Saturday night.
You weren't on Saturday night? I thought you weren't going to be on.
Well, I wasn't going to be, and then at the last possible second, I snuck in a phone call. You know, how I sneaked around the corner and held a box over my head, and nobody
never
knew I was talking.
Coming.
Yeah, and
never
so and
keep coming. That's always been my motto.
Exactly. So I did call in at the last hour of the show and brought a story to John's attention.
Uh-huh.
That in fact, post 9/11. Post September the 11th, Iran made overtures to us, and we actually had a series of high-level meetings with Iranian diplomats who were going to assist us in Afghanistan because they knew where all the targets were, and were going to supply us with relevant data regarding where the head of the Taliban was. I'm trying to remember his name.
I understand. And what was our reaction to that meeting?
Our reaction to that meeting was to very quickly usher Iran into a speech and call them part of the Axis of Evil.
Oh, boy, that figures, doesn't it? There went the neighborhood right there at Bora Bora.
Yes. And apparently they were even going to assist us with, assist with humanitarian concerns as well, such as they said, well, if you don't want us to take an active role militarily, then we can supply doctors, we can supply nurses, we can supply medical, supplies, et cetera, for the civilian population to provide support in those ways, and we turned them down on that too. Also later, in 2003, there were high-level contacts made to the U.S. government from Iran, basically Iran saying, listen, we want to bring on a nuclear power reactor for electricity, and we want to negotiate with you so that this is not a big deal. We want to, figure out how we can do this so that everybody's happy.
Right.
And they were rebuffed completely.
Oh, well, why don't we have such an HO for Iran? I mean, ever since that hostage thing?
I think it must be.
What's the deal here? I understand. Now, this is one I've heard, that during the Reagan-Carter election, that Reagan made a deal with the Ayatollah to bring the hostages home if he could get Reagan to help get Reagan elected, into the presidency. They met in the Mayflower Hotel.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well,
thank you for telling me about that. That kind of blows my mind. It seems like we would need all the help we could possibly get, and we're certainly not denying those people the opportunity of helping us, and in turn are helping them by helping them bring on a nuclear reactor for needed electricity in that part of the world.
Well, and it really is kind of amazing to me that we have created, again, we're creating a situation that we can only get out of by military action. It's like we've gotten to a point we've done such a dramatic shift from policy and from diplomacy to it's called big stick diplomacy, I guess isn't that the terminology, Jim?
Yeah. That's what walks off and carry a big stick, except we don't even have a shillelagh. I don't know what we're carrying around. I swear to God, I don't. I could say, but you wouldn't like it. But I'm not going
to
say.
No, we're going to try to stay away from the brown words tonight, Jim.
Oh, I wouldn't even think about that.
Okay, well, we're still trying to stay away from those.
Okay,
anyway.
No problem.
And again, Jim, I guess at some point, I'd love to have a conversation with you about the historical ramifications of all this. I mean, we have historically in the Middle East been. I mean, now we're crusading. I mean, it's like George Bush has assumed the mantle of Charlemagne.
Please,
mantle
of Charlemagne. Somehow, I can't quite picture that. I mean, I've seen pictures of Hitler in armor. I could picture that, but not Charlemagne. And I always thought those were the most ridiculous-looking things I've ever seen, some of those old Nazi propaganda things of Hitler in a suit of armor with a lance. Have you ever seen any of those?
Yes, I did. Pretty sad.
It's too much. It's too much. I swear. I don't understand. As President Carter may have been a born-again Christian, these people are born-again fools and idiots.
I agree. I totally agree, and I think what has happened, though, is that, and actually, there is some bright news on the horizon, okay? A week ago or so ago, you were telling me, you called in and you were kind of despondent about, the direction that the country is heading, et cetera. Well, there is some positive news, and that is, dig this, Jim.
Okay.
The number one cable news channel's primetime schedule has dropped 22% in its core 25 to 54 demographic.
Now, who is this?
And 8% in total viewers. This would be Fox News Channel.
Fox News, Pravda, or whatever you want to call it. Let's see, what do they call their TV over there? What they used to call it? Anyway, wonderful, wonderful.
So
I have my remote set to bypass that channel. I never see it.
And apparently, from what I understand, those viewers have gone over to MSNBC.
Well, that's a logical step. It is. I think they're a little more fair and balanced. And then they've got some people on MSNBC. I don't know who that vixen is, but she and Nancy Grace ought to get together and set up housekeeping.
You're talking about, is she the one after Olbermann?
Deborah,
you're thinking
Norville.
About...
Deborah Normal or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Oh God, what a Harrison! Oh Lord, have mercy. She and Nancy Grace should be lovers. They should be. I think they'd be perfect, don't you?
Well, I'm not going to get into who should be lovers, and because I've never been a good matchmaker, Jim.
I would love to put those two together in an oblong box and bury them at sea.
Not a square box.
I've taken enough of your time, but I've got one last thing to say. In the words of Mae West, we can give this advice to our, I'll just call it our friend in Tallahassee, okay?
Okay.
It's from dear old Mae West, in which she said, "A man in the house is worth two on the street."
Okay. Jim, thanks so much for calling in, my friend.
As always, a very sincere pleasure here on my part talking to you. You have a good afternoon. Like you
I said. Certainly will. You too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. All right. And we are going to be taking a break here in a few minutes. I just wanted to, before we get into that, let me just sort of give you a little bit more of a background on that story about the Fox News thing. This was actually today I picked this up off of Raw Story, but it's from BroadcastingCable.com, and slackers at Fox News Channel, you're on notice. Your boss is not pleased. Fox News Chairman Roger Ailes is on the war path following his network's recent ratings slump, and he won't hesitate to clean house to turn things around. So far, during the second quarter, the number one cable news channel's primetime schedule has dropped 22% in its core 25 to 54 demographic and 8% in total viewers. The first quarter was even worse. Chief rival CNN has also dipped in recent weeks, but less dramatically. They're off 18% in the demographic and 2% in total viewers. Insiders say that even though Fox News remains number one, Ailes is fuming over the complacency he senses among staffers. Jaded? You mean they're jaded? Huh. Could it be because they're tired of pushing forth lies? Maybe they're tired of not sleeping at night. Maybe they're realizing that they're on the wrong team, Roger Ailes. Could be. But then again, it might not be. But either way, we'll get to the bottom of it. You're listening to the Bruce Birch Radio Program on the Head On Radio Network. If you want to get in on the phones, we've got a few lines open, 1-877-443-2366. You can email me, bruce@brucebirch.com. Me and this mouse over here in my pocket, we'll be right back.
Finest she could be. I never ever noticed her. I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can now grab as a podcast or download off our website at progressive.org. The roll was called, and now we know who has spine and who doesn't. I'm talking about the Iraq War and about those senators who stood up and demanded withdrawal within the next year. Here's the honor roll. Daniel Akaka, Barbara Boxer, Dick Durbin, Tom Harkin, Daniel Inouye, James Jeffords, an independent, Teddy Kennedy, John Kerry and Russ Feingold, of course, they're the ones who sponsored the thing, Frank Lautenberg, Pat Leahy, Robert Menendez, and Ron Wyden. You'll notice there's no Harry Reid on the list. He's the Democratic Majority Leader, and he's not leading. There's no Chris Dodd or Joe Biden or Evan Bayh, all presidential hopefuls. There's no Barack Obama either, and no Hillary Clinton for that matter. They went along with a mushy, non-binding resolution, calling on Bush to begin pulling out by year's end and begging him to come up with a plan for complete withdrawal. But even that wasn't weak enough for Joe Lieberman. He not only voted against both bills, he fronted for the Republicans. In fact, the Republican floor leader on this one, John Warner, gave his first 15 minutes over to Lieberman, who was quickly praised by none other than Rick Santorum. Every day, Joe Lieberman is becoming more and more like Rabbi Bengelsdorf from Philip Roth's Plot Against America. You know, the one who sided with Lindbergh. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Let's go back to the phones, and we are joined by Beauregard T. Clampett, I'm told, on line one.
Hi there, Bob!
Well, Mr. Clampett, how are you, sir?
The sponsor, you have had a ruckus on the airwaves this evening, Bob, and I just got to tell you where I fall down on this subject.
And fall down you do, I suppose.
So you catch on quick, I tell you. You get very quick, very quick. But I did want to just, because I kept hearing things like amnesty, and I had to tell you, Bob, if we have amnesty, we can't work them to death like we're doing. We can't pay them $3 an hour if we let them become citizens now, can we?
That whole 13th Amendment thing's still a thorn in your side, isn't it?
We won't talk about that either, Bob. Now, we're working on repealing that sucker, but it's going to take a while.
Catch Bob Kincaid weeknights, 7 to 10 p.m., right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Good man underground.
Head On.
All right, you're back on the Bruce Burch radio program being brought to you by the Head On Radio Network. This is Radio for a Free America. And today, we've got free and wide open lines. We know this is a place where you too can have your freedom of speech upheld, and we'll pick up the dime. 1-877-443-2366 is the number, or if you like letters, 1-877, the number 4, Head On. You can also email me, Bruce at Bruce Burch, and that's B-U-R-C-H, Bruce at BruceBurch.com. Just started on writing a blog post, trying to amass some of the links that I wanted to reference, that I have been referencing, so you can follow along. But I'll put that up at BruceBurch.com in case you're interested about any of the links or there anything like that we talk about while we're on the air. You can go over there to BruceBurch.com and check that out after the show. Waiting on the lines, we're going to head on back over to the phones here on Head On Radio. Head back over to the phone lines. Our good friend Peter from Tallahassee is on line one. Peter, how you doing, man?
Oh, man, I think I called the wrong show. I was trying to reach the big cigar channel. I guess I got the wrong show.
No, you've got the right one. I
Jim cracks me up, dude. I gotta tell you.
Let me we can get this topic out of the way.
Hopefully, let's do it. Let's clear the air.
Let's open up the windows and let the sun shine in. All right. I'm not going to sing either, but I do like singing as well, Peter. Just so you know. But I used to smoke cigars
okay.
way back, probably about 4 years ago, I would, go and buy, I was a cigarette smoker at the time also, okay, and I smoked probably half a pack, pack and a half a day. Let's tell the truth. Let's be honest, right?
Yeah.
Right? Let's be honest. Pack a half a day. Smoked Camel Lights, for those of you who are keeping score.
Yeah, but for the minutia.
Yes, for the minutia. And I smoked cigars then, and, I had a very good friend of mine who gave me a Cuban cigar. I just sort of landed in my lap out of thin air. I don't know. It just poof, there it is. I stuck it in a humidor and didn't touch it for a long time. Well, back last April, I was out in California for a while, if you remember.
Yeah.
And I happened upon a cigar store, went in, and I just said, Now, keep in mind, I quit smoking cigarettes in 2003.
Okay.
And I said, I would love to have a cigar. And so, of late, that's been one of the little activities that I do every evening after the show. If it's not pouring down rain and lightning crashing down around my tinfoil hat, I go outside after the show and listen to Bob Kincaid's show and have a cigar. And actually, the truth is now, and this is, it's just one of those little activities, whatever. But the truth is now, I was talking about Curly Head Cigar earlier. There is actually a brand by Arturo Fuente called the Arturo Fuente Curly Head.
Okay.
So, and this is a real cigar. This is not, I'm not making this up. This is not, Bruce Birch's Fiction Hour.
Okay.
Okay, so there's that. And so now I have a cigar probably, every so often, maybe about one a day, something like that.
It is hard to imagine you smoking a cigar. It just seems so non, it's just hard to feature, but it's cool. No problem. I don't care. It's just kind of funny.
You think it's funny that I smoke cigars?
Yeah. Well, it is kind of funny. it's sort of like maybe one of your conservative genes is kicking in,
Oh no.
But anyway, the thing that I'm called about today that got me frosted was this announcement that General Motors is going to lay off another 50,000 people over the next few months, and then Delphi, of course, one of their subsidiaries, makes the various things that make it go another 9,000, and the corporate media is all over it. They're jumping on it and interviewing people who are going to be laid off and how sad that is and how the automobile industry, but nobody is touching the fact that the Bush administration was giving people rebates not too many years ago for buying these big gas-guzzling things that nobody wants anymore. And they were saying things like, the thing to do after a big attack is to just do the American thing, and that's buy, and buy big cars. And, every bit of advice we've gotten from this corrupt, stupid administration has been to the detriment of this country. Can you think of one positive thing? Anything at all that they've done, I'm at a loss.
Well, yes, there is actually one positive thing. George Bush is the best organizer for progressive causes that I've ever seen.
Well, that's true. I'll have to give you that. That's absolutely true.
Now, he brings people together that before probably wouldn't even stood on the same side of the street.
Yeah.
So
I wish the corporate media had a memory of longer than one news cycle. Tomorrow, this story will go away. It won't be talked about, and there's no recollection of any of the history that's led up to this. Every day is an individual snapshot, and unless you're people like us who are constantly reading the news on the web and getting and hearing it discussed during the day and listening to the talk radio programs that have a thread of truth to them, there's no recollection of this, unless you're one of the people that got one of the rebates. I guess you might recall it, but by and large.
Well, what's troubling to me is that, there's a couple things that are troubling about this. The first thing is that, and I've got to do some research. I saw that story today, and the first thing that came to my mind, this is absolutely what happened. The first thought that hit my mind when I saw the headline was, I wonder how many of those jobs are no longer in the United States. or will no longer be in the United States.
Yeah, I see your point.
And you know, I don't know that GM itself is cutting that many jobs. It's cutting that many North American jobs.
Well, I see your point. Regardless, though, of whether those specific jobs are going to a GM, some sort of manufacturer for GM, or if it's just lost sales to companies who are making fuel efficient vehicles, maybe it's just lost sales. Either way, it's gone. Either way, they're gone.
I'm just trying to say, you know, that these folks. Now, listen, Peter, and the other thing too, and this is where our good friend Wayne from West Virginia could probably pipe in and talk about this a little bit more than I could. A lot of these companies, you know, they will cut people before they give up profit. And you know,
good point. Yeah, the multi-million dollar executive packages.
You know, those guys at the top are going, you know, we'll cut 30,000 mid-level managers, but you know what? We're still going to be, you know, basically what they've just done is they have single-handedly removed the middle class of their company.
That's a good point. Yeah, they're firing the middle class. This is a very good point. And reflective,
you know,
of the way the whole society is going in general, the discarding of the middle class, the ultra-rich and only the very poor. It's going to take
another
long time to ever recover from this, Bruce. It's going to take an awfully long time.
If we ever do. You know, and that's the fear that if you want to talk about a fear or a negativism that I have that kicks around in my head, is that however we do recover from this, it's not going to look like anything that we've already experienced. We're going to still, you know, with the amount of wealth that has been concentrated in the upper 2% of the population, wresting that amount of money out of the control of those people is going to be a very hard-fought battle. Because, as my dad used to say, you can't fight with a company that buys ink by the barrel.
That's well said. Yeah, that's, you know, very well said.
So, I mean, you know, that's going to be an interesting. It's an interesting point. I mean, I mean, you know, who knows what that's going to look like, Peter? But I got to tell you, as the way things are going right now, the fact remains that the middle class is getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. Union jobs are going away. You know, the assault that began under President Reagan on the unions really has hit a fever pitch.
It's true. And the people who are blinded by this, the people who are still supporting the Bush administration, I have a friend here who lives locally. She's very much against Bush, and she has some Republican friends that send her emails. I wanted to correct her and explain to her they probably really weren't friends. But they send her these emails. But the emails are about things like, that the Democrats just voted today to give Social Security benefits to illegal aliens. Things that are totally off topic. Things that are outright
lies.
Yeah,
Peter,
lies.
I got to take a break. Can you hang on to that after the break?
Oh, yeah, I could, but I tell you, I really don't have a lot more. I just was going to talk about the GM thing. You might want to start with something new after the hour.
After the break. No, just stick around for a minute.
Okay, we'll do. I'm here.
Okay. Okay.
You got it.
We're talking with our good friend Peter from Tallahassee. It's about 48 minutes past the hour here on the Head On Radio Network. You're listening to Bruce Birch. I'll be right back.
Beautiful house with a The Head On Radio Network is brought to you every night by the Carpenters and Millwrights. The Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters is a portion of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners of America, or more commonly called the Carpenters Union. The millwrights are a very specialized craft that perform their work with highly sensitive equipment and perform much of their work on machinery like turbines, laser alignment, and other highly specialized tools. We would like to thank the Carpenters and Millwrights for their support, because freedom of speech is free, and it's brought to you by the Carpenters and Millwrights, working hard every day to provide a brighter future. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Speaking of thievery,
yes.
Just want to let you know that Alistair Cook, okay, last year, right?
Yes.
He died of lung cancer that spread to his bones. He was 95 years old. Apparently, his bones have been or were stolen. Apparently, there's a ring of people out there that steal bones. They steal these bones and they make dental implants. Apparently, now he had cancer all in his bones, right? But the people who stole the bones rewrote the paperwork to make it look like he died of a heart attack. So now there's somebody else walking around out there with his diseased, cancerous bones in their body.
That is freaky.
Yeah, I just thought it was so...
Oh my God, I thought it was so ghoulish. It just freaks me out. Anyway.
Hey, don't forget to join Bruce and I Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time for the next edition of Fourth Estate Radio. Get the streaming details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show, where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com. That's cupojoe.blogspot.com. Now get back to work.
We often hear claims Muslims don't condemn terrorism,
and that Islam condones violence.
As Muslims, we want to state clearly
that those who commit acts of terror in the name of Islam are betraying the teachings of the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad.
We reject anyone of any faith who commits such brutal acts,
and will not allow our faith to be hijacked by criminals.
Islam is not about hatred and violence. It's about peace and justice.
Dad.
Alright, you're back on the Bruce Birch Radio Program, Radio for a Free America, right here on the Head On Radio Network. My good friend Peter is still with us from down in Tallahassee, Florida. Mr. Peter.
Yes, sir, I am still on the phone. I certainly am.
I went and researched the article that you were referencing, and let me just tell you, it took a little bit to find it.
Well, the only reason I found out about it is it came in one of the subscriptions, you know, I think it was Truth Out. It came flying in as a clip. I would have never come across it anywhere. I didn't see it in Yahoo. I didn't see it anywhere.
I went and dug around, and finally on CNN, buried in their little archive of stuff, I found it. And actually, this has a posting date of today, time of 23 minutes ago.
Oh, I see. So it's just fresh out of the batch.
Fresh out of the hopper. General Motors Corp. said on Monday that about 35,000 workers have accepted buyout and early retirement offers from the automaker.
Yeah.
And these folks are mid-level folks, from what I'm understanding. And,
yeah.
And they do not include Delphi employees who are participating in a similar attrition program. This may actually end up being more than 50,000 people.
Yeah, article I read indicated about 9,000 Delphi employees. And rather than being punished, the upper management are keeping their money and keeping their rewards and just firing the people rather than, you know, that it said GM profits and sales have fallen 22.5% over the last 3 years, I think it was. In any case, it's the lowest in many, many years and decades, and it's just not good. Yet the fat cats keep on rolling. They honestly, there's no stopping them, is there?
No, there isn't. And actually, of course not under this particular government. You know, there was a time when the industries were expected to kind of, knuckle under and say, yeah, we're supposed to be here to help the common folks too, and to do the responsibly, the corporate responsible thing. But they're not doing that. What they're doing right now is they're saying, you know what, we're going to get our money out of this while the getting's good.
Absolutely. Another thing that caught my eye today, you know, the big bust in Miami, the guys were going to blow up the Sears Tower and FBI buildings all over the country, and it was huge. And
oh, yeah.
Well, you know, so far they found no explosives. They found no weapons. They haven't found any documents that link them to Al-Qaeda. And it pretty much the group was just kind of a, wannabes. They were terrorist wannabes. And I knew that before they went in there and got those people. It was just entirely on the account of Karl Rove wanting to kickstart it. You know, he's a little bit out of trouble now, or at least pretending to be out of trouble, and he's to kickstart the spin. You know, how they're trying to, they're making it safer. And the FBI knew all this before they went in there. You can't tell me they didn't. Hell, they watch our emails, they listen to our phone calls. They knew this.
Yeah. Well, that's the other part of this too, is that what I understood was that this was tipped off by a neighbor, wasn't it?
Seems like something like that. Yeah, some sort of a neighbor tip off, but that's probably BS too. I mean,
here's what gets to me though, Peter. And this, before we even get to the guys and whether they could or didn't or whatever, is that it all got started off because of someone who looked at a situation that looked kind of suspicious. It didn't happen because of wiretapping. It didn't happen because of phone calls getting listened into. It didn't happen because peace groups were being surveilled. It didn't happen because of any of those things. It happened because somebody said, those guys are looking kind of scary over there. Maybe we should call somebody.
Ah, now that's a good point. You have to wonder, too, though, if the whole neighbor story is even true. It's a shame that you have to doubt everything you hear. You have to analyze it from every point of view. If the neighbor story is not true, maybe it's, just to stimulate that, I could find some terrorists myself if I look hard enough attitude amongst the knuckle-draggers. The whole thing is probably just a huge lie. Who knows what's true?
Yeah, and that's the point. And I don't want to I don't want to get off in too much of a conspiracy reality of what's going on, but it doesn't surprise me any that I have a feeling that we're going to see more of these little enclaves of homespun terrorists become outed the closer we get to the election. And actually, it wouldn't surprise me any at all if we all of a sudden came up with a high level target right before the election.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah, and it seems to me that that's probably what's going to, I don't think they could stand it if something was actually hit. So you're probably right about that, Bruce. It makes sense that they would just keep coming up with these huge plots that, under very close examination, aren't really huge plots at all. It's just a bunch of guys who are talking or look suspicious.
Yes, it was a terrorism discussion group.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
They were sitting around and discussing, what was the name of that book? Oh, my gosh. The Anarchist Cookbook?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was an Anarchist Cookbook discussion group. That's what it was.
Yeah, exchanging recipes for terrorist brownies. Yeah, it's a mess.
Yeah, it absolutely is. But, Peter, thank you so much for calling in on the program today. It's good to hear from you.
It's good to talk to you, Bruce. I'll talk to you later.
Any parting words for Jim, since he left some parting words for you?
Well, he did, and he's absolutely right about a man in the house being much better than two on the street. It's just that the last time I had a man in the house, he ended up in the cellar, and I was calling down something like, it puts on the lotion.
Oh, my goodness.
I think I better give that up. but, you know. It's
okay.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, thanks, Peter. Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye now. That was our good friend Peter from Tallahassee, Florida. You, too, can join the conversation by dialing 1-877-443-2366. We're about 45 seconds to the top of the hour. You are listening to the Bruce Birch radio program being brought to you by the Head On Radio Network. I'll be right back.
Quality News Network. In Iraq today, two bombs exploded near two crowded marketplaces. At least 35 people were killed and 86 were wounded. The blasts come a day after Sunni and Shiite groups are attempting to come together, and the Prime Minister announced his 24-point plan for national reconciliation. The top commander of U.S. troops in Iraq, General George Casey, has reportedly come up with a plan that would pull out two combat brigades from Iraq by this fall. That's the total of 7,000 troops. The New York Times report says overall Casey's plan would eventually cut the total U.S. forces down to five or six brigades by the end of 2007, down from the current 14. In Washington, many Senate Democrats were angered by Casey's proposal because they say it mirrors theirs. It also came just days after two Democratic-sponsored non-binding Senate resolutions that called for a timetable for U.S. troop withdrawal were defeated by Republicans. According to the latest Washington Post ABC News poll, the American public is split on whether to set a deadline for U.S. forces to withdraw from Iraq. 47% say they would like to see a firm date set, yet 51% are opposed to it. In Washington, the Supreme Court upheld the state death penalty law in Kansas. The court also ruled that Vermont's election finance law, the strictest in the nation, unconstitutionally places hamstrings on candidates and thus overturned it. At the White House today, President Bush strongly condemned the New York Times for its publication last week of information about a secret program that monitors financial transactions overseas of suspected terrorists. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is on her way to Pakistan. She will hold talks there tomorrow on the war on terrorism. In Tokyo, for the first time, the United States will deploy Patriot interceptor missiles at U.S. military bases in Japan. This agreement comes as North Korea threatens to test fire a long-range ballistic missile. Today, President Bush urged North Korea to declare what its intentions are. The Census Bureau estimates that the U.S. population will reach 300 million by this fall. Much of that growth is being driven by Hispanics. And in the Washington, D.C. area, heavy rains created flooding problems this morning. Several federal buildings were shut down and commuters faced delays. At the White House grounds, a 140-year-old elm tree fell. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
Billionaire Warren Buffett, the second richest man in the world, announced he will begin giving away about 85% of his wealth, said to be $44 billion. A large portion will go to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Johnson & Johnson will pay $16.6 billion cash for Pfizer's consumer health care division. It includes well-known products such as Listerine, Visine, and Sudafed. Boston Scientific announced it is recalling defibrillators and pacemakers that may have an electrical flaw that could cause them to fail. The company bought Guidant for $27 billion last April. This is the latest in a series of product problems that the company inherited with that purchase. General Electric's Healthcare Financial Services Division will acquire 186 nursing facilities in seven states. The deal is worth $1.4 billion. Real estate developer Donald Trump has announced plans to build a 70-story luxury apartment tower in Tel Aviv. It would be the largest building in Israel. The world's most expensive city is now Moscow, knocking off Tokyo from the top position. Seoul, South Korea is number two. In the U.S., New York City, Los Angeles, and San Francisco are the costliest places to live. Light sweet crude settled at $71.80 a barrel today, and at the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 56 points, the Nasdaq was up 12 points. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff. It's 5 minutes past the hour.
It's time for another hour of conversation radio on the Head On Radio Network. Where the callers are the experts. You're back with the Bruce Birch Radio Program. With your host, Bruce.
You're back on with the Bruce Birch Radio Program, Radio for a Free America, right here on the Head On Radio Network. If you're interested in chatting online while you listen to the radio program, you can do that by going to headonradionetwork.com. That'll get you right into the homepage of this wonderful network that we are birthing, burgeoning, fledgling, whatever you want to call it. We're doing it here. That's right. Right here at the Head On Radio Network. You can go to headonradionetwork.com, click on the chat button. Let me just, you know what, I never have figured out which exact button is it. Click on the chat button there on the left-hand side of the page, and that will get you to a place where you can register your nickname. And we always, you know, by the way, we don't do mailing lists. We don't sell your name. We don't do any of that stuff. We're not like the NSA. We're not like AT&T. We're not like NSAT&T. We're just the Head On Radio Network. So do that and get in there to the chat room. There's a few folks in there talking about various different things right now. I highly recommend it. If you want to know the question, if you want to know the answer to a question, that would be the place to go, because those folks in there are incredibly intelligent. Some of the finest minds on the Internet are in our chat room right now. So I'm waving in the chat room. Hi, guys. Okay. We're going to go back up to the phone lines, because today is free and open phones. Today is a free speech day at Head On Radio Network, or at least on my show it is. If you want to call in, you can do that by dialing 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877, the number 4, Head On. And joining us, I think this would be a first-time caller, is our friend Nick from Michigan. Nick, welcome to the program.
Oh, hey, Bruce. It's not my first time calling, though, but it was a long time. I haven't talked to you in a long time now.
Oh, you called All Things Reconsidered, my former incarnation. That's right. Okay.
And it's been harder for me to listen to you, because my son is up during these hours, and I'm kind of chasing him around. But I wanted to call and just tell you how much I missed your show, and I try to catch it when I've got him distracted with the Wiggles right now.
I hear you. The Wiggles distract me, too, so, you know.
But
it's good to hear from you. What's going on? What's on your mind today?
Well, I wanted to get your opinion on something. I like to listen to crazy religious radio when I get a chance, you know.
Okay.
And I've been, you know, keeping a close ear to the focus on the family. I don't understand how this organization is a 501c organization. It seems to me that it's a, you know, a Republican Party machine of propaganda.
Sure.
But, like, for instance, today they had Paul Bremer's wife on. And she, for some reason, I guess she's an expert on Iraq because she's Paul Bremer's wife. And she's saying that, you know, we have to be in Iraq because we don't want to get attacked again. And it really infuriated me because that's just blatant lies. We're not in Iraq because of 9/11, but they'd like us to think that. So I want to get your opinion. Is it right for me to call them and tell them that they're, you know, I called them in a calm manner, much more calmer than I am right now, probably. You know, and I just explained, you know, to them that that's not true. And, you know, this isn't the first time I've heard this on that show. And it's supposed to be a, you know, religious program about the family.
Sure. Did they let you on the air?
No, they don't do that. No, I just called.
Oh, okay.
Them. Yeah.
Okay. I think it's absolutely okay. As a matter of fact, I think the more people that call up those folks, you know, I don't know that you would make them change anything that they're doing because, you know, they're doing what they're doing for a reason, and that reason is, you know, they're delivering, you know, their primary, I believe, this is, you know, I could be way wrong with this, but my opinion is that they are basically a vote-getting machine for the right wing.
Mm-hmm.
And they have been able to sort of polarize the evangelical base of Christians and brainwash them into believing that everything the Republican Party does is just and moral and correct,
mm-hmm.
and everything that the Democratic Party does is immoral and incorrect and against God's law, and so therefore, you know, you can't possibly be Christian and be a Democrat. The two things cannot possibly exist in the same place at the same time. So, you know, they have created this aura of domination, if you will, to, you know, in getting the message out. Now, you brought up an interesting point about the 501c3 thing, okay? Just sort of as an aside, I've done a lot of work in nonprofits, and I know sort of what the limits are on political speech, and I know, what you can and can't do as far as lobbying, et cetera, and, you know, how he can operate, how James Dobson can operate the way he does without any sort of IRS investigations into his tax status and whether or not he's broken the law or at least broken the regulations according to tax. I have no idea how he's getting away with it, especially since, you know, the president of the NAACP back before the election in 2004 came out with a speech that was very, very negative against Bush, but did not, according to the 501c3 guidelines, did not condone a candidate,
mm-hmm.
did not say, you know, because under the guidelines, and I don't have them right in front of me, but I can pull, you know, you can get them at irs.gov if you want to, you know, have a cookie planted on your computer and be tracked by the NSA. You know, you can go to the irs.gov website, and there's all kinds of regulations, and actually what they've done in the last probably 3 years, 2 years, has been to put up documents on the web that say this is how we interpret this particular
uh-huh.
rule, whatever it is. And they give you real-life examples of how they interpret rules. Now, the funny thing about the way that they interpret rules is that they're still not interpreting the rules, I don't believe personally that they're interpreting those rules fairly. Because if you have a James Dobson out here with the focus on the I wish you could focus on his own damn family,
yeah.
but with focus on the family on this end of the spectrum, and you have other 501c3s on this end of the spectrum, the left end of the spectrum, I'm holding my arms up in the air, waving them back and forth, you know, such as, and even liberal churches. I mean, there is a case of a liberal church out in, I believe, Pasadena. It was in Pasadena, California, where the minister got up and talked about,
he was against the war. It was no candidate, like you said again, but it was against the
exactly.
war. He got in trouble.
And the IRS actually yanked their nonprofit status as a church.
Mm-hmm.
That was the ruling in that case. And yet you had another church in Waynesville, North Carolina, that actually expelled members of the church because they were Democrats. And they got into no trouble at all whatsoever. So, I mean, you know, these rules are not being applied fairly and evenly across the board in any way, shape, or form. How Dobson can get up and do that is beyond me. Now, I don't know that our phone calls to them would have any effect. Only if we got on the air, I think it might.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think reframing the argument is what's paramount here with these people. I think that most folks who go to those churches, you know, they want to believe in family values. They want to believe in, you know, that they have some control over how their society is going to evolve to be.
Mm-hmm.
What I think about this, and what I've expressed, and how I've talked to folks that I know are on that side of the spectrum, I always approach them with, how come you always vote against your own best interests? And they say, what do you mean? And I say to them, well, you know, if you're voting for a Republican, you're voting to have your wages lowered. You're
right.
Voting to have, you know, perhaps your neighbor's newborn son, you know, who might have some rare disease and will require health care for the rest of his life. You are voting to essentially give that child a death sentence.
Oh, but
all because
about the children,
you know, and I say all because of your beliefs, all because you believe that two men or two women shouldn't be married, all because you believe that, you know, our country's going to hell in a handbasket with our morality. Where is the morality in not providing health care for people who need it?
Exactly.
And, you know, and oftentimes I will get this blank stare, you know. Like, it's the first time anyone ever suggested such a thing to them.
And, Bruce, you know what happens to me is they always throw abortion in my face. And what I always say is, if you truly want to fight abortion, you need to fight poverty. That's how you fight abortion.
Exactly.
You don't fight it by making laws that go into the body of a woman and really can't be followed. You know, it's like trying to pass a law on suicide. You can't, you know.
Or if you want to decrease crime. I mean, poverty and crime have been linked, you know, for how many dozens of decades now? I mean, there is a direct correlation between the poverty of an area and the significance of a crime factor.
And Jesus,
you know,
somebody in the Bible, I'm sure someone in the Bible somewhere talked about fighting against poverty. I don't know who.
Might have been even Jesus himself.
I know, exactly. And that's who they're supposed to be representing. But that's why I get so angry and I call. But you're right; it probably doesn't make much of a difference. And
you want to? I got to take a break. You want to hold on over the break, or do you need to go and chase the kid?
I got to chase it. He wants to brush his teeth. He's such a good boy. So I'm gonna.
Well, that is, yeah, catch that while you can, right?
All right. Well, I'll listen to your show, and thank you so much.
Yeah, Nick, have a great day. Good to hear from you, and hope you call again real soon, man.
I love the discussion. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, man.
Bye.
But that's our good friend from our good friend Nick from up in Michigan there. That's kind of cool. I hadn't heard from him in a long time. We're going to go ahead and take a break, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to the Bruce Birch radio program on the Head On Radio Network. You, too, can be a part of the show today by dialing 1-877-443-2366 or email me, bruce@brucebirch.com. I'll be right back.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black, and if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe, are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie. I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool black skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave. A shrinking glacier. I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Did you know that less than 1% of our government's annual budget goes toward helping people in other countries? Helping create a healthy future for people overseas helps us here at home, too, by ensuring a more peaceful and prosperous world. Call your U.S. Senators and Representative today at 202-224-3121 and tell them you support our foreign aid programs. That's 202-224-3121.
Hey, John, I just heard you got a new computer. Congratulations.
Thanks. It's the coolest thing.
What'll you do with your old computer?
I don't know. I guess I'll just throw it away.
Well, my company just bought new computers, and we decided to donate the old PCs to a place that gives them to local schools. You could do something like that.
Seriously, who would want a 3-year-old computer?
Hey, it might be great for someone else. Computers can be refurbished and reused instead of ending up in the trash. By passing it on, you can help the community and the environment.
If you're replacing your company's IT equipment or you're finished using your personal computer, pass it on to a local organization that accepts computers. To learn more, log on to epa.gov/passiton. This message was brought to you by EPA, Dell, Intel, HP, NEC, Philips, and this radio station on behalf of EPA's Plug Into eCycling Partnership. EPA does not endorse any commercial services or products of these groups. For information on all partners, log on to epa.gov/plugin.
Political conventions, talking of your crusade, talking of your nation, and other things too terrible to mention. And you proclaim your Christianity, you proclaim your love of God, you talk of apple pie and mine. I just got one question, and I want an answer. Tell me, who would Jesus bomb? Maybe Jesus would bomb the Syrians, because they're not Jews like him. Maybe Jesus would bomb the Afghans on some kind of vengeful...
All right, you're back on the Bruce Birch radio program, Radio for a Free America, right here on the Head On Radio Network. I'm glad to be back with you today. It just is fantastic to be back on the air, and I get so much out of doing this radio program. You just have no idea, but I wanted to bring something to your attention about a story. This is from page1q.com. page1q.com. Now, the Department of Defense has come out and admitted to a wider surveillance of don't ask, don't tell groups. In response to a Freedom of Information Act request, the Department of Defense has released documents that show wider surveillance of student organizations than previously reported, the service members' legal defense network has reported. On April 11th, Page 1Q reported that the Pentagon had admitted to conducting surveillance of groups protesting the military's Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy for gays and lesbians in the armed forces. The new FOIA request yielded information about an undercover investigation by the Pentagon on activities into student groups protesting the war at State University of New York at Albany, William Patterson University in New Jersey, Southern Connecticut State University, and the University of California at Berkeley.
The documents released by the Pentagon on the SUNY Albany protests gave a description of planned activities. Quote, source received an email from, redacted by DOD, stating a protest was planned against military recruiters at SUNY Albany on 21 April 2005. The text of the email is as follows, end quote, said a report filed with the Department of Defense. The documents released today indicate that emails sent by various student groups were intercepted and monitored by the government, and that the government collected reports from seemingly undercover agents who attended at least one student protest at Southern Connecticut State University. None of the reports in the documentation, however, indicated any terrorist activity by the students who were monitored. You know why I'm laughing? Because, come on, these are students. These are what is college for but protesting something? Whether it's the spotted owl, or whether it's the don't ask, don't tell policy, or whether it's an illegal war in Iraq, or whether it's government surveillance and monitoring of emails. If you go to college and don't protest something, you just have lost the entire college experience. Okay. None of the reports in the documentation, however, indicated any terrorist activity by the students who were monitored. Need I say more? I have talked about and talked about and talked about till I'm blue in the face about the government surveillance program. I dare say that I'm on the list. I'm okay with that. It's fine to be on the list with the likes of folks like Martin Luther King and Malcolm X and some of the other, some of the predecessors of civil rights in this nation. I'm okay with being on a list. What I am not okay with is being under surveillance if I haven't even committed a crime. It's as if you've been pronounced guilty before the charge has even been read. It's as if you, as a person who believes in dissent and who chooses to have a free thought about the war or about the don't ask or whatever the issue is, it's as if you, as a person who has an opinion, cannot have that opinion because it's not on the list of approved opinions being distributed by the Department of Homeland Security. And therefore, we must watch you. We must watch you very, very, very closely. Now, what's really bothering me the most about this is that we have reached a point in our nation where there is more to be feared, I think, from the government than there is anything else. Yes, the terrorists could very well attack us, and they probably will again. And probably, you know what? That's a reality of today, folks. We have created more enemies than we can kill. But there are those of us, and myself included, who still desire for peace, who still desire justice, who still desire, you know, all those progressive stuff, peace and justice. The kind of stuff that people worked on in the 60s. And I think that I personally am of the belief that we can still accomplish that. Now, we heard Jim and Peter earlier say, you know, it's going to be tough to try to undo all the things that they've done, or to try to roll back the clock to a previous place, and it's not going to happen. See, the corporations and the government gets it, or I should say they've created it. They've created globalization. Now it's time for the rest of us to get it. We have, and we'll talk about that a little bit after the break. You are listening to Radio for a Free America. This is the Bruce Birch Radio Program. If you feel so inclined, you can dial into the show by dialing 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877, the number 4, head on. We'll get you right into the studios of the Head On Radio Network. We're going to take a quick one. I'll be right back with your phone calls right here.
Did you hear them talking about it on the radio? I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my Progressive Point of View, which you can now grab as a podcast or download off our website at progressive.org. The story was almost impossible to read, and watching John Burns of the New York Times discuss it on the Jim Lehrer NewsHour was almost too much to stomach. The story of two soldiers, Thomas Tucker and Christian Menchaca, captured in Iraq, then tortured to death. A soldier's nightmare. A nightmare for their families. Two more soldiers, on top of the 2,500 already killed and the 18,000 U.S. soldiers wounded. 20,500 families that will never be the same again. And for what? So Bush can make macho? So Halliburton can make billions? The Iraqis don't want us there. The new government doesn't want us there. Even the Iraqis who guard the perimeter of the Green Zone in Baghdad aren't considered reliable by the U.S. Embassy, according to that leaked memo to the U.S. ambassador. And when our troops leave their fortresses, they subject themselves to the risks that befell Thomas Tucker and Christian Menchaca. Menchaca's mom, Maria Vasquez, said, "I'm against the war, and I feel very hurt by what happened to my son." I'm against the war, too, and I can only imagine just how much Maria Vasquez is hurting right now. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
You're back on the Bruce Birch radio program. This is Radio for a Free America, being brought to you by the Head On Radio Network. Our call-in line is 1-877-443-2366. That'll get you into the wild, wacky, wonderful studios of the Head On Radio Network there in the beautiful mountain state of West Virginia. And let's go ahead straight to the phones. It looks like we've got our good friend Wayne on line one. Wayne, how are you doing tonight, man?
Good, Bruce. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, but I'll get better. Better, and as I said to or someone earlier today, better than I deserve. Better than I deserve.
I don't believe that, brother. I know you. You deserve everything you could get, and you're a good man.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You've talked about so many things since I decided to call, you know. Like, you know, surveillance. I don't know what to tell you, man. I've been under surveillance for over 40 years. You kind of get used to it for a while, after a while.
Yeah.
But listen, man. You attended the Take Back America rally.
Yes, I did.
And I want you to know that on July 30th, which is a Sunday, at 2:00 at my house, we're having a 3-county Democratic picnic.
Okay.
And I've kind of decided that if we're going to take back America, we got to start state by state.
Absolutely.
And West Virginia needs a lot of help. You know, this state carried this current occupant of the White House the last two elections. And we have to change that. And we're going to start that process. And we would be honored if you and your family could attend that.
Well, I will do my very level best to be there. July 30th, that's on a Sunday.
That's on a Sunday.
I don't see that would be a problem, but I'll definitely get it on my calendar.
Well, I'd like to see that. Now, getting back to who's throwing the Democrats out of the church, Dobson?
No, there was a guy in Waynesville, North Carolina, at a church there, and I'm trying to remember. I think it was a Baptist church that they actually
he expelled people who voted for John Kerry.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So what's that, so all Democrats are heathens, I guess? Is that what that translates to?
I think that's exactly what he's trying to say. Now, I think that, you know, because of the worldwide attention that he got for doing that, that he actually ended up either quitting or was being or was forced to resign his job there. And the remaining members of the church, I believe that the Democrats who were in that church actually went and started up a new church, is what I'm understanding. I think that's what happened. I'll have to look into that and see where that stands at this point. This was probably, I remember the story we're talking about it on Fourth Estate Radio way back last fall.
Okay. Well, I hope he was forced to resign. You know, quitting's too honorable for a person of that caliber, which is not a very good caliber as far as I'm concerned. But
I agree.
You know, things are changing. I really could see a change, and I think if we work hard enough, and you know, there. Listen, if the Democrats do take control and we get a new administration, there are some amazing problems that have to be overcome. But
yes,
the sooner we start, the sooner we get it done.
And that's
know, these
just
people
it.
Have ruined our reputation throughout the world. And how anybody could still back these people is totally beyond me, but there's still quite a few of them. You know, even if when he's down in the 30% range. And, you know, that the public service thing you just had with, who was that guy and that's how he feels?
Yeah.
Well, okay, I can't think of his name either, but imagine those families that are going through that. It's easy to be an advocate for this war and all that stuff when you don't have people involved, when you are not personally touched by things that happen. And, you know, all these Christian people that back this war, you know, I wish they could consider that. You know, to me, one of the biggest things, you know, I'm not a very religious man. And I try to make my religion, well, that is my religion, is to do unto others. And part of that is being able to put yourself in the other person's shoes. And if you can do that and really think about that, it will change the way you think.
It does. You're absolutely right.
And I think a lot of these people are lacking that, being able to put themselves in like the mothers of these poor two last guys that were kidnapped and tortured and killed. Just imagine that if
yeah.
that was your son or daughter.
Have empathy. Empathy.
Exactly. And if people had that, just like the guy said, the Iraqis don't want us there. The new government doesn't want us there. Nobody wants us there except the people that are making billions of dollars. And most of those people are occupants or work for this administration. They have nothing to lose and everything to gain. They're
You're absolutely right.
Huh? All these hawks, all the people that vote for this war and the appropriations, their sons and daughters aren't there and never will be. And, you know, maybe if you had that guarantee that none of your family would be there and have to do this, that would enable you to think this is a good thing. But then if you are able to put yourself in the other person's shoes, it would change your mind. And
you know. I think it's a really interesting paradigm or interesting way of thinking, Wayne. There's a couple of schools of thought that I've seen with regard to, especially with families who have people over there or who have served, et cetera. You have the folks like Michael Berg, who is actually running for Congress now, whose son was murdered over there, was beheaded, who say, you know what? No. He goes, it absolutely was the policies of this administration that murdered my son, and lays the blame directly at the feet of George Bush himself. Then you have others who, it's almost like if they really speak their mind and say what they really feel about this war and about, you know, the fact that we're over in a place where we're not wanted and probably weren't wanted to begin with, It's almost as if they say that by some magic hoodoo or voodoo, it's going to make their son or daughter get killed, you know.
Right.
And it's a tough situation for families. And I don't, you know, when I listen to Cindy Sheehan or anyone else whose son or daughter was killed over there, I try to put myself into her position. And I also try to put myself in the position of those whose kids are over there who have been killed, who are rabidly right-wing about it as well, because to me it's like, you know, you're treading into an area, or at least in my mind, I would be treading into an area of a very private understanding of what their son is or was doing over there, or daughter was doing over there. And, you know, it's like saying if they were to really open their eyes and see what's happened and what's going on over there, maybe they might see that, you know, it was really a war of convenience, and that would be too much for them to bear that they lost their child in a war for convenience.
Well, but to whose convenience? This is a corporate war. Exactly what it is.
Okay. And when I say a war of convenience, I mean George Bush's convenience.
Well, George Bush represents the corporate world, pal.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
And, well, which is, you know, and people don't understand they don't understand the true meaning of fascism. And that's why I have no problem calling these people fascists. Because that's what they are. The corporation is more important than the people. It's just that simple. And, I don't know. I hope and pray that we can turn this thing around. And I truly think we could do it. I mean, the Democrats, even with all their misgivings, at least they seem to be getting some kind of guts here with the resolutions of last week. I realize they weren't all on the same page, you know, but they stood up and tried to do something, which
sure.
is quite a change from what's been happening in the past.
You're absolutely right.
You know, it's something to look forward to. But listen, buddy, I don't want to take up too much of your time. I haven't talked to you for a while. I've been real busy. And
How's organizing going up there?
The last week I've been organizing a wedding. And that occurred Saturday, and it was a beautiful affair. It was absolutely a beautiful affair. My son and his wife were married by a justice of the Supreme Court in West Virginia, and, it made me very, very proud. He's a very lucky man.
Well,
she's
you know,
a lucky woman, too.
And congratulations to you. Pretty soon you'll be a granddad, eh?
I'm looking forward to that, man. I'm looking forward to that. So
I hear you.
Anyway,
well, that's
buddy,
great.
Have a good evening, and don't forget, 30th of July.
30th of July. I've got it written down right now, and I'm sure you'll call me and remind me, though, won't you?
More than once.
Okay. Looking forward to it. Thanks a lot, Wayne, for calling in, man.
All right, brother. Bye.
Okay. Talk to you soon. And also calling in from, let's see here, we also had another caller on line two, I think, Gene from
hey.
Oregon.
How's
Gene, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, it's hot here. It's at least 100 degrees.
100 degrees?
Yeah, it was 101 yesterday.
Kind
of warm for Oregon.
It is kind of warm for Oregon. What's your usual high temperature there?
Oh, goodness. Let's see. Well, it's been a weird year. Probably, oh, gosh. It would be around 90, 92. Maybe a little less. So it's hot.
Well, that's, you know, we're used to 100 degree temperature where I am, but that's kind of rough. So what's on your mind today?
Well, in, you know, we're doing all the research I do for different things is all I took a walk on the wild side and listened to, I guess you'd call them reformist conservative radio, which is like the populist radio, the, no offense for plugging them, the RBN. The,
okay.
Yeah. And it's the reason I brought this up was what your last caller talked, or not last caller, but the guy from Michigan about the Hobson thing and that kind of deal. And, you know, it's kind of funny because even the reformist conservatives are hating Bush. They still hate us, but they are really beginning to get the idea that this is not a good person. So what I find really interesting is that if Dobson and the other folks of that class are still pushing this, then, you know, they obviously they don't have any kind of Christian values at heart, either left or right. So, you know, that was just something I wanted to say. Go ahead.
I think you're absolutely right there. I mean, I really struggle. You know, I grew up in Southern Virginia, about 50 miles south of Liberty University, where the great Jerry Falwell existed in the 80s. And you remember the kind of power that he wielded at the right hand of God the Father, Ronald Reagan.
I'm sorry.
And you know, so yeah, I was too. But some of the graduates of the Liberty University, I ran into some of those folks that came down. They would like to come down to our area and start churches.
Oh my!
And yeah, and these folks would come knocking on your door and they would camp out in your front yard. You'd wake up one morning and smell smoke and look out the window and here's a campfire of Baptists out there. You know, they're reading the Bible and dancing and doing what they do. But you know, really, what amazing, and that's of course tongue in cheek, but they did show up at your house. It seemed like every night of the week, going, "Are you saved? Do you know Lord as your personal Savior?" Because if you don't, it says right here in Numbers or whatever it was, or Romans. I can't even remember. Anyway, point being is that they did that a lot. Now, why I'm saying this is because, you know, folks like Dobson, I think, have sort of separated themselves from their original intent.
Yeah,
and you know, I've watched religion a long time, and I have participated in it. I actually was at one point, dare I say this, a born-again Christian
well,
many moons ago. And I have nothing against the Christianity. I have a lot against how it gets interpreted, how people practice it, and what people call Christianity that really isn't. It's something else entirely.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a struggle, and I think Nick who, from Michigan, who you were talking about, you know, he's you know, yeah, sometimes we have to listen to some of those things, and sometimes we have to listen to other points of views to if for no other reason than to cement in our mind that yes, we do believe what we believe,
mm-hmm.
and yes, we're comfortable in that belief.
Well, and I agree with you. The thing that I find so scary, and getting back to what you always say about follow the money, is I'm going to try and look into this and see, because I have a feeling that if you look at them closely enough, they're getting the same money with a few extra twists and turns out of the same pot that Falwell and Dobson and the rest of them get it. So I don't really know, but I just have that feeling. So, but I just wanted to go ahead and throw that at you.
Well, you know, I'm glad you called in today, Gene. I don't hear from you all the time, but Gene, ladies and gentlemen, Gene is my best researcher in the world. I get how many emails do you send me a day, Gene?
Oh, more than I can count. And actually, I think I'm being a pest.
No, you're not though. So don't think that. I mean, I really appreciate it. And what I will do, Gene, what I may do is start posting some of those links up on my blog so that people can also avail themselves of a lot of the research that you're doing. But you're doing a great job, man, and I really appreciate it.
No problem, anytime.
All right.
Well, you have a good day.
Okay, you too, Gene. Have a wonderful day, and stay inside in the air conditioning, okay?
Okay.
All right. That's our good friend Gene from Oregon, and one of my, I would call loyal listeners, absolutely, and loyal emailers, too. All right, we're about 48 minutes past the hour. This is the Bruce Burch radio program, Radio for a Free America, right here on the Head On Radio Network. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back to close this puppy out for this Monday afternoon. It's great to have you with me. I'll be right back.
Nagasaki and Pearl Harbor too. Across the sweep of human history, there's a truth they never tell. There's more horror in obedience than there'd be if we'd rebel. So when they speak to you of glory, colors bright and true, and using words like good and evil, say it all comes down to you. When they offer you a weapon and send you out,
there's a place on the web you can go where everything is so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Dookie are there working hard for you every day. It's a place where you can go to raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. WBYAD40.com. So stop on by. The 101st Fighting Keyboardists of Kansas are ready to hear your opinion. There are topics of news, current events, and great humor. So let Clyde, Wally, and Dookie know that you're a working person too. WD40.com. Stop on by.
You know, the president came out and talked about the Iraq war and how he had a strategy to win the peace. I have some exclusive audio. This is actually him preparing for the speech in front of the mirror. This is him laying out the strategy for Iraq.
That was the most coherent thing I've heard him say in ages, man.
What? You know, if he really spoke that way, it would be so much better for us all. Because at least then we would know that he's an incoherent bastard, and we could have him locked up.
And that's just a taste of what Bruce and I got up to last weekend. Come and join us next weekend, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. To get the stream details, go to fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Head on.
He's back.
Yes, I am.
Listen live every night. HeadOnRadio.com.
Your computer is your radio. No static, no low power signal. It's easy. Bob Kincaid, West Virginia's number one liberal talker, is back on the air. Bigger, badder, and better than ever. Head on with Bob Kincaid, just like you remember it. Feisty, ferocious, and foremost, fact-based. No right-wing spin, no falafel, no oxycontin, just a nightly confrontation with the facts. The issues of the day. Head on. Listen live every night.
Listen live every night. HeadOnRadio.com.
Click on air every weeknight from 7:06 to 10 p.m. Then call 877-443-2366. That's 877-4-HEAD-ON. It's easy.
It's talk radio for the rest of us.
Monday through Friday night, 7 to 10.
Head on.
You're back on the Bruce Burch radio program. It's about 54 minutes past the hour. And before we go too far into some stuff, I wanted to bring to your attention a brand new program on the Head On Radio Network, and that would be Mark Levine's Radio Inside Scoop that is on this network 1 until 2 p.m., I think is the
Or is it 2 to 3? I think it's 2 to 3. Yeah, 2 to 3 p.m. every day on this same radio stream. So I do encourage you very strongly to check that out. Mark has been doing a wonderful job at that radio program for, I guess, a couple years now. I've listened to it a number of times myself, and he always has some top-notch programming on there. So do check him out right here on the Head On Radio Network. We also have on the line with us all the way from down under, my good friend John Fox is on line one. John, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. How are you? Show's been rocking so far.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I've been doing splendiferously. That's another one of my Bruceisms. But, John, tell me about the real quickly. Tell me what you got going on this evening.
Well, we'll kind of find out when we get there. We're going to do a little bit of a pre-run of Foxed Up with yours truly, John Fox, and we're going to give a little place where the children of the night fight the radical right, and we're going to try and have a little bit of fun with the absurdity of it, and hopefully we'll get some of those nice, loose, late-night callers. I'm really, really looking forward to this. It's going to be good fun.
By loose, do you mean drunk?
Well, you know, it's the end of a long day for some people, especially on the East Coast by that point. You know, whatever you know.
Whatever floats your boat, huh? Okay.
Yeah. Well, that well put. Well put, mate.
So Foxed Up, F-O-X-E-D, Foxed Up, tonight at 10 p.m. on this radio stream. Our good friend and my compadre in the struggle, John Fox, will be hosting his own radio program. Any specific topics on tonight, or is it just going to be a free-for-all, my friend?
Well, I got a couple of things that I'm looking into, and for later in the week, it looks like I've got some guests lining up, looking to have, since we're doing the show out of Australia here, to maybe give a little bit more energy to nighttime radio for you folks over there. We're going to have a couple of big Aussie bloggers and activists on through the week, probably starting maybe Wednesday, Thursday. I've just been flipping through the news and listening to you and just really, you know, it's another day of absurdity here in Opposite World. So we'll just talk about all that.
Well, I'm definitely looking forward to the show tonight. I will be strapped into my chair with my seatbelt on and my tinfoil hat latched into place, and my